5:45 on your Tuesday morning. Kevin Martell in again with Greg Morgan this morning. Thanks for waking up with us. A little smoky out there and risk of a thunderstorm this morning. Yes, this morning. Could see that. And it looks like now the next couple of days are going to be smoky in even Regina now. Right now, there are air quality warnings up, not for Regina, but just to the north of us around, pretty well starting around Davidson and heading areas north. So if you are, for example, heading up on the 11, yeah, you could run into certainly some thicker smoke. And like I said, probably a couple days of this where the air quality goes down a little bit more in the city. At last check, the air quality in Regina was 6. So that's... that's the moderate area we're headed in. We'll keep you tuned in on that. Hey, game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. Yeah, it goes to Florida. Not really that close at all. It's a game that you would like to forget if you are the Edmonton Oilers.
Here's Marchand with a shot.
Three power play goals for Florida. At one point, Panthers forward A.J. Greer stole one of Oilers defenseman Jake Walman's gloves and threw it in the Florida bench. Walman lost his composure. He stood up on the Edmonton bench and squirted a water bottle trying to hit Greer on the Florida bench. There was eventually a line brawl. As you might imagine, yeah, things got a little bit of out of hand when the game was out of hand. Edmonton coach Chris Knobloch says the third period unraveled his players.
I think our guys were just trying to, boys being boys. I guess just trying to make investments for the next game.
Well, you got to believe Oilers captain Connor McDavid is telling his boys to dig in now.
Obviously, it wasn't our best. Not our best at all. I don't think our best has shown up all series long, but it's coming. You know, shift the focus to finding a way to get a win in game 4.
Fans back in Edmonton were watching the messy game outside of Rogers Place.
The boys will bounce back. Yeah, we'll win it. We'll win in 7. We need to lift it at home, so it'll be 7.
A lot of American refs, I'd say. 10 power plays to 1, that's absurd. No, it was just an off game. Edmonton in 6.
I feel like if we were going to take a game off in a series, do it early, I guess. But it gives Florida a lot more momentum than I wanted to worry about. So now we're down in the series, and they have a chance in game 4 to go up by a stranglehold, and I don't like it.
Yeah, the Panthers are now up 2-1, as you are hearing, with game 4 happening on Thursday again in Sunrise, Florida. So 2 nights off. So if you're just jonesing to go, you want Edmonton to hurry up and tie it, yeah, you got to wait another day. I don't know why they're really slow in the Stanley Cup Final, aren't they, for some reason. Staying with sports, and running back Kadeem Carey is heading to Ryderville. CFL's leading rusher in 2021 and 2022 just signed with Saskatchewan. The Riders signing of Carey comes after running back A.J. Ouellette was hurt in last week's home opener. Now, this could suggest this new signing, Ouellette's not coming back anytime soon. Of course, you don't know that for sure, but if you're going to go out and sign somebody else, can't imagine that Ouellette's going to be back this week. The Riders' next game, by the way, is Saturday in Hamilton. Carey spent last year with Toronto rushing for more than 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns, but was released following training camp. Hearing it in Andrew Shepherd's newscast this morning, there's a new report out saying Saskatchewan is once again buying U.S.-made booze. Post Media is reporting SLGA staff were told of the move yesterday. Walking back this province's retaliation to Donald Trump's tariffs, this comes a few days after Alberta made a similar decision. Canada is still getting hit by Trump's tariffs, including tariffs on steel and aluminum, which, of course, just doubled to 50%. Well, after more than a week of handling the wildfires with help from other provinces and countries, Saskatchewan is asking for help from the federal government. That was just announced on the latest wildfire update, 980 CJME carried live for you. 980 CJME's Jillian Massey has the details for us this morning.
The needs that we have to align with what they're offering.
And that's what the provincial government has been saying for weeks about federal help. What is needed is Type 1 and Type 2 firefighters and water bombers. And that's not what the federal government had to offer.
I can't restate this enough. I know the Premier has said it and Marlo has said it. This isn't a situation where we're not asking for assistance or they're not offering assistance. It's simply a situation where we need the needs that we have to align with what they're offering. And we continue to have those conversations daily to find that alignment. And we're encouraged by those ongoing conversations.
But now Public Safety Minister Tim McLeod says they have to come together.
And the SPSA has made a request to the federal government to provide two base camps to support our crews and have also made a request for tents for sheltering up to 200 people. Those requests have been communicated to the federal government. We're optimistic that we'll hear a response back shortly in that regard.
The minister explains what the camps will be used for.
One of them would be a larger one to support somewhere between 100 and 150 individuals. Those camps would provide sleeping quarters. They would provide a facility for cooking and eating. They'd have bathroom and shower facilities in them. And they would be designed for workers to stay at as they rebuild communities and as we go back to repatriating these communities and restoring services in them. Of course, the largest loss to infrastructure that we've seen is in Dunair Beach, and I would expect that the larger camp would probably be in that area.
He says needing these tents, that people are being allowed to go back home, and that's a good thing.
This is a really positive change in what we've been seeing. We're now turning a corner, I would say, and optimistic. Still much work to be done, but preparing for that next phase, making sure that we are ahead of the cleanup efforts and the rebuilding efforts that we know are to come.
Some people are being allowed to go home, like those who are being evacuated from Weaquin and Pelican Narrows.
I think it's important to point out that repatriation is always a community decision made by the community leadership, and we hope that they would do that in consultation with the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency, who have assessment teams that go in and make sure that it is safe for people to return.
There are still 33 communities on evacuation status, and even with some people able to go back home, there are still more than 10,000 evacuees in the province right now. I'm Jillian Massey, 980 CJME.
And as we wake up this morning, 25 active wildfires are currently burning. Six are not contained. Some northern areas are getting rain. They've gotten rain these last few days. A welcome sight. And you can just hear the joy from Candle Lake Mayor Colleen Lavoie.
I think all of us went outside and danced in the rain. I was just happy to go outside and get wet.
Yeah, she says rain is expected to be soaked up by the end of today, meaning the fire will once again be able to advance. Of course, we're talking about that massive Shoe Fire that's still burning thanks to that rain and wetter weather over the last couple of days. It hasn't really gotten worse, but at the same time, it hasn't really gotten much better. And so what they need is, yeah, more rain. It almost comes down to that. You're seeing, as you've been hearing Jillian's report, help from other provinces, from other countries, and now they want Fed help too. We'll see what develops over the next few days of the forecast. Here in Regina, yeah, chance of rain for us this morning, risk of a storm that we're still actively monitoring. Routine on your Tuesday morning. On Thursday, Ronco Radio will be holding a Saskatchewan Day of Caring to help those impacted by the destructive wildfires up north. From 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening, all six of our Ronco stations in this province will be accepting donations which will go to the Red Cross so we can help those families and individuals affected. We'll bring you stories, hear from all kinds of people involved in battling the wildfires, escaping from the wildfires, and ways that you can help. Again, that is this Thursday, Alco Radio Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief. You can actually donate right now at cjme.com. We have a link up to the Red Cross. Of course, anywhere between 10 and 15,000 people out of their homes. Some are able to go back now, in part thanks to weekend rain, Pelican Narrows, Wayaquin. Those healthy enough to go back are heading back, and the province says the decision to return home is made by community leadership. So far, two charter buses have left the Prince Albert Exhibition Center, and they're headed to Pelican Narrows. Hunter Ballantyne did not enjoy his experience in that city.
It was, I don't know, I was mostly just homesick, so just felt out of place.
He says he's eager to check on his house and says he's been getting a lot of updates.
Not much is lost except for trees and probably North Bay, the first responders area.
Some wildfire evacuees and the NDP opposition are calling on the province to step up with financial aid. Many evacuees say they've been left in limbo with no callbacks from the Public Safety Agency and zero funds to get by. Moira Pennell Davis is out of her home in Creighton.
We fled Creighton nearly 2 weeks ago and still haven't seen a dime in aid. My husband and I will be okay, but I know many others are desperate for this financial aid. They don't have a financial cushion.
Meantime, Creighton's Sherry Parr feels the situation has been mismanaged from the start. Her husband is a volunteer firefighter helping in the area.
He and the entire fire crew have been sleeping on dirt roads, on concrete floors, and in lawn chairs on the fire hall because they're so exhausted. They've had zero government support from day one.
Meantime, Trevor Miller from next door in Flin Flon, Manitoba, says he's gotten $950 from his province via e-transfer.
I hear neighbors of mine, people in shelters getting $40. They haven't seen anything but a $40 gift voucher for Safeway. And is there a Safeway where you are? Doesn't matter. That's all you get.
The Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency says it's working to rectify concerns with the reimbursement of some of these incurred costs. Communities receiving support from the Public Safety Agency can get accommodation from designated hotels, meals, emergency clothing, and health support. Those staying with friends or family will be offered groceries at the nearest store to where they're staying. In name, it's known as Robertson Trading. But what started as a fur trading post in 1967 grew over the decades to become a cultural cornerstone in LaRange. Now, it's gone. Victim of the wildfires. We're hearing from one of the owners this morning, Scott Robertson, had to see his family store burning to the ground.
My life was in there. We pretty much grew up in that store.
Now, Robertson Trading was a business, yes, but it was also a place where tradition was preserved and Indigenous artwork treasured, filled with handcrafted moccasins, beadwork, moose hide.
I'm too old to rebuild this. The old, the classical grannies that were making this stuff back in the day, I mean, that's largely gone.
Yeah, he says what was lost is irreplaceable.
It's a gut punch. I mean, you feel it all. You feel regret. You feel anger. You feel sadness, frustration.
Right now, this morning, there are 25 active wildfires burning in this province. Six of those are not contained. Looking at the weather map, air quality warnings are up. Not for Regina, just to the north of us, though, starting kind of around Davidson and moving north. Air quality in Regina this morning is now at a 5, so that is considered a moderate risk. Anywhere between 4 and 6 is a moderate risk, and you start getting to a high risk when you reach that 7 to 10 number. We're not there. We're not expected to be there. Throughout the day today, we're probably going to hover in that moderate risk area. So just keep that in mind if you are headed for the outdoors, if you're doing anything exercise-wise outside today. On your Tuesday morning, certainly wasn't the best efforts from the Edmonton Oilers last night.
Obviously, it wasn't our best, not our best at all. I don't think our best has shown up all series long, but it's coming. You know, shift the focus to finding a way to get a win in game 4.
Yeah, and I would tend to believe Oilers captain Connor McDavid after that 6-1 loss last night against the Panthers in Florida. Nasty game. 3 power play goals for Florida. Edmonton took a lot of penalties. some of the players in the Oilers. Evander Kane took exception with the officiating. Yeah, not a great game. He had a bit of a line brawl, Stanley Cup final. We're getting into it now. So Florida is now up 2-1. Game four happens not tomorrow, but an extra day off. And then Thursday is game four again back in Sunrise, Florida. But hey, here in Regina, Real District just named a new president and CEO again. Though this time, no more interim or temporary. Rick Bennett takes over permanently. Real District has had several interim leaders since Tim Reed was removed from the role last year. Trent Frazier, Roberta Engel. Real says Rick Bennett comes with more than 20 years experience as an international executive in areas like hospitality and tourism. And now, no doubt, one of the big priorities for Bennett is trying to steer the Real ship financially out of troubled waters. Be a tall task. We heard from City Council just last week that there's a new sports bar going in at Real District where YQR Distillery was. And so that'll be partly open this September. Taking a look at things nationally, Prime Minister Mark Carney says his defense spending agenda will move forward at a rapid pace. It'll have to, because he just made a new promise to meet NATO's goal to 2% to spend, that is, 2% of the country's GDP on defense. Carney says he'll do that this fiscal year. That timeline seems like it's moved up, yes, very, very quickly. Recent data shows Canada spends just about 1.33% of its GDP on defense. It's under pressure from allies to increase that number. Carney says Ottawa will design a new defense policy and industrial strategy to lift up the sector, making use of Canadian steel and aluminum. Last week, defense ministers from NATO countries met in Brussels to talk about raising the member spending target on defense to as much as 5% of GDP. It's taken us decades to get even to, well, 2%, if it holds true, if that promise will be kept by Prime Minister Carney. 5% of GDP, I couldn't imagine how much more in spending we'd have to put on defense to meet a potential target of that. It's something, again, they're talking about. You've heard President Trump talk about that as well, potentially boosting that. We'll see if it actually comes through.